Here.
Actually, I'm vice chair.
Oh, sorry, vice chair Campbell.
I'm still here.
Here.
Commissioner Hurt.
Here.
Commissioner Mielke.
Here.
Commissioner Reynolds.
Here.
Chair McMillan is excused. Commissioner Parkinson is absent.
Okay, our next item is called to audience, and we have one blue card from Mr. John Eisenberg. Hi.
You want me to stand up there or here or?
Anywhere you feel comfortable, sir.
Well, probably outside.
It's kind of hot for that outside.
I'm very emotional about this. I get a little heated, and so I try to keep it calm, but even my writing gets a little heated. I'm John Eisenberger. I'm a resident. I live on the El Conquistador Golf Course. I saved for 45 years to be able to retire comfortably on a golf course that I could play, and I'm extremely frustrated. Oro Valley charges reclaimed water users the highest rate in Arizona, up to 15 times higher than the lowest, about three times the price charged by most Arizona reclaimed water sellers. Why? Oro Valley supposedly decides on reclaimed water prices using the same process as other sellers. If Oro Valley shuts down the El Conquistador Golf Course, potable water prices will be increased for everybody. The pricing process is very simple. Determine the actual cost for delivery, delivering reclaimed water to customers, and base the price on that. No profit, no loss. Actually, using all their reclaimed water is a major goal of all municipalities. Many subsidize reclaimed water prices or even give it to their users for free. Oro Valley forecast for revenue is essentially identical to expenses, so it must be right. Then why is Oro Valley reclaimed water price so high? Two possibilities I see. Either Oro Valley's costs are significantly higher than anyone else in Arizona, an indication of terrible management, or Oro Valley criminally falsifies the reclaimed water expenses to significantly higher than actual so they can rip off reclaimed water users. The Oro Valley's extremely high reclaimed water prices may be the primary cause why Vistosa went bankrupt. According to the water utility budget, they don't even try to determine the actual reclaimed water expenses. They just guess that reclaimed expenses might be similar to prior years, and expenses may be arbitrarily percentage of total water sales. I mean, that's like saying that, you know, if it takes 50 firemen to put out a fire with garden hoses, it's going to take 50 firemen to put out the same fire with a fire hydrant and their big hoses. You know, you can't base prices or expenses on, you know, the amount of water you use. Reclaimed water revenue forecasts are based upon the highest reclaimed water price they think they can get away with, then working backwards, figure out what they must show as expenses to justify that absurdly high price. Reviewing the budget comments on engineering and planning, capital projects, future capital improvement projects, customer service, conservation, production distribution, meter operations, water quality, backflow prevention, and security and emergency response, you immediately see that our water utility spends all their money on potable water and spends very little, if anything, on reclaimed water. Does anyone really believe that we spend $900,000 maintaining and operating 14 miles of reclaimed water pipe, a couple of booster pumps, and five customer meters? Does anyone really believe that we spend $500,000 for personnel to serve five customers? The mayor and some of the city council complain that the expenses for our golf course are too high. The too high reclaimed water price is one of the biggest reasons golf expenses are so high. And who sets the extremely high reclaimed water prices? Our mayor and city council. You caused the high golf losses problem by charging ridiculously high reclaimed water prices. You should be ashamed of yourself. By the way, 13-2407, tampering with public records, is a class 6 felony, 6 years in prison. Mr. Mayor and city council, I thought they were all here, but will you ask the water utility to prepare honest, accurate reclaimed water expenses and then price reclaimed water honestly? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Guess you didn't really want to hear an answer.
That was plain offensive.
Yeah. Okay.
Was there any truth to what he said? 15 times higher?
sounds a little out of whack.
During the director's report, I'll touch on that dialogue, and maybe that's a future agenda item if we want to get into a deeper.
Well, I think we have gone through that every year as we do our rate review. That is one of the things we review. So I think it's been reviewed many times in this group. I think it's been reviewed many, many times in subcommittee meeting. And
we did it in substantial detail in the finance subcommittee last year.
So that should all be in the records for all those meetings.
That's why I find it so offensive.
Yes.
I'll hit on the high points during the director's report.
Okay, we'll move on. Discussion on the Oro Valley Water Utility Quality Backflow Prevention Program.
Minutes.
I got minutes. How did I do that? Thank you.
I move approval.
All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Chuck has a question. Comment.
No, I was just holding my chin.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. I have to do something with it.
All opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. Thank you very much, Charlie, for making sure I didn't miss that. Okay, discussion on the Oro Valley Water Utility Quality Backflow Prevention Program. Adam.
Hi, good evening.
Nice to see you.
You too. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Adam Pence. I'm the lead water operator for the water quality and backflow section. Been with the utility for a little over 12 years. In the water quality section since 2012, and in my current position since 2016. So tonight I want to go over the responsibilities of the water quality and backflow section. And the topics are regulatory agencies, EPA sampling requirements, non-regulated sampling, the 2018 water quality results, backflow prevention, and if you have any questions at the end, I'd be glad to answer those for you. The regulatory agencies, the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, under the Safe Drinking Water Act of 1974, identified and developed the drinking water rules. The EPA sets the maximum contaminant levels, reporting limits, and treatment techniques. And research is based on drinking 2 liters of water for 70 years daily. The Safe Drinking Water Act is continually amended to expand regulations. The most significant amendments were in 1986 and 1996. The EPA delegates to the states, Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, ADEQ, to implement and enforce. Oro Valley drinking water compliance is monitored and enforced by ADEQ. ADEQ monitors and tracks water quality results. They review and approve the consumer confidence reports. They also have the Monitor Assistance Program, which is MAP, and that's for the Countryside Water System. And this is, they collect, analyze, report all the required regulated contaminant monitoring from the source water entry point to the distribution system. This is a required participation for all water systems that serve less than 10,000 people. The participation fee is based on the number of service connections plus a base rate, and the program does not include required distribution sampling or any repeat sampling. ADEQ tests and certifies water operators, and all personnel in the operations division are certified operators. And the Oro Valley Water Utility meets all drinking water regulatory requirements. EPA sampling requirements. Water quality sampling frequency is determined by the EPA drinking water rules. The number of samples is determined by the size of the utility. The table here shows the Oro Valley sampling frequencies. Monthly is the microorganisms or total coliforms. There's 58 of those, and it's a present or absent indicator of a disease-causing bacteria that could be present. Quarterly are disinfectant byproducts. There's 9 of those sampled at 4 separate locations. And these are substances that can form during the reaction of a disinfectant and naturally present organic matter. It is a human carcinogen causing an increased risk of cancer. the physical analysis for both baseline and CAP. It's a measurement of pH, TDS, temperature, chlorine, and hardness. And annually are nitrates. That's at 16 entry points to the distribution system. And those are an inorganic compound that occurs under a variety of conditions in the environment, both naturally and synthetically. Non-regulated sampling. So the following are non-regulated sampling that we perform. Like I mentioned, we sample quarterly for baseline and CAP. The physical analysis, which is pH, TDS, temperature, chlorine, and hardness, is used for operational data. The baseline is a continuous monitor of our water supply, and the water quality data for emergencies or potential contamination comparison. And that is collected at all active well and reservoir sites. CAP, we monitor water received from other jurisdictions that is blended with the Ore Valley groundwater. And Ore Valley does not treat its water other than adding chlorine and blending. Monitoring changes and rules. So staff has to be diligent in monitoring the ever-changing rules related to new and revised requirements. There have been 22 revisions to the Safe Drinking Water Act since 1974. Recent drinking water rule changes are the revised total coliform rule, which was implemented in April of 2016, the revised long-term lead and copper rule. This rule is still evolving, but we did submit a site sampling plan in June of 2019 that was a requirement, and unregulated contaminant monitoring rule, UCMR 4. These are 30 contaminants suspected to be present in drinking water that don't yet have health-based standards. The EPA uses the data to determine if there's a need to expand future drinking water rules, set maximum contaminant levels, and reporting limits. February and August of 2020 are the sampling schedule for the Ore Valley Water Utility. And we will collect 30 samples at each entry point to the distribution system, taken at both the raw groundwater and the post-chlorination taps. And there will be 12 samples at 4 locations within the distribution system. 2018 water quality results. The Consumer Confidence Report, or CCR for short, was provided for our customers. It includes information on source water, vulnerable population concerns, definitions, contaminants sampled for, and those results, violations received, and overall compliance with the drinking water rules. The CCR is part of the Safe Drinking Water Act, and it must be delivered to customers no later than July 1st. And is monitored and enforced by ADEQ. Must include all the required information for consumers. There are 2 reports, one for each of our water service areas, and inserts were mailed with bills notifying customers that the newest CCR is available and how to access it. Reports are posted on the water utility's website, and they're hand-delivered to non-bill paying customers. In 2018, the Ore Valley Water Utility received 2,755 sample analytical results, and we used both field equipment and EPA and ADEQ certified laboratory analysis. Backflow prevention. What is backflow? Backflow prevention. Backflow is an undesirable reversal flow into the water system. Backflow prevention is a required program designed to protect against system contamination due to backflow. Backflow assemblies. They're a mechanical valve arrangement which is designed to prevent backflow or the reversal of flow once it has passed through the valve. There are different types of backflow prevention assemblies for different uses and different degrees of hazard. Compliance monitoring. Thoreau Valley Water Utility is delegated authority by the State of Arizona, ADEQ, and Pima County Department of Environmental Quality, PDEQ, to maintain compliance on all backflow assemblies in both water systems. Cross-connection control program is part of the Safe Drinking Water Act. The town's backflow prevention ordinance gives us the authority needed to enforce the requirements of our program. Water quality and backflow staff are all certified backflow testers through ADEQ-approved American Backflow Prevention Association. I also hold a ABPA cross-connection control specialist certification. We're responsible for compliance of over 1,600 active backflow assemblies in the Oro Valley water systems. Additionally, there are 121 town-owned backflow assemblies are tested, repaired, maintained by the water quality staff. Every backflow assembly must be tested annually by a certified backflow tester. We must maintain compliance records for 3 years on each assembly, and we maintain a computer database as well as hard paper copies for each assembly. All the records must include assembly identification numbers, location, degree of hazard, date of tests, description of repairs, tester's name and certification number, and PDEQ performs an audit on these records every 3 years. Monthly notifications to owners for testing compliance. We send out an initial first notice, which is a 45-day letter. Our second notice is a 15-day letter sent by certified mail, and our final notice is hand-delivered to the owner. We survey, permit, and inspect every new or replacement backflow assembly. Surveys are performed to determine the degree of hazard, and degree of hazard determines if backflow prevention is required and the type of assembly. We inspect for proper type of type and installation and record all of the identifying information. We permit between 60 and 100 backflows annually, and we survey between 400 to 500 assemblies annually. Construction hydrant meters. All new construction lines are flushed, chlorinated, flushed again, and sampled for bacteria prior to being connected to the Oro Valley water system. Every temporary construction meter requires a backflow assembly. Backflow assemblies must be tested at the time of installation and removal, and the utility installs, maintains, repairs, and reads approximately 30 construction meters a month. Future and ongoing plans for improvement. New and modern database program for tracking our backflow assemblies. Proactive outreach on backflow prevention education and requirements. And replace aging town-owned backflow assemblies and meters. Implications for failing to maintain and monitor a backflow program are public notices, fines, probation and suspension, involvement from Pima County Health Department, ADEQ or OSHA, news media, public outcry, liabilities and litigation, and worst case would be public could be harmed due to contaminated water. Anybody has any questions? I'll try to answer them.
Any questions?
I have a couple. Does ADEQ give a definition for like vulnerable populations?
They actually provide the language that we are required to put into the CCR, but it's compromised immune systems, young children under the age of 6 months. Those are generally the vulnerable population.
Okay. And with respect to backflow testing, so if you have a backflow, say I'm, Home Depot or whatever, I have a backflow device, do they test those every year? Or is it every 3 years? How would
so not all backflow prevention assemblies are testable. There's four types of assemblies. Generally, if you have something on your home, on your irrigation system, those a lot of times aren't testable. I'm not sure if that was what you're asking.
But like, so how about like the regular, like the copper ones you see outside of like a commercial building?
Oh, yes. So those are tested. Those must be tested annually. We monitor those.
And does the owner have an option whether they have Oral Valley tested or a third party?
So Oral Valley testing is not an option. We reserve that right if they fall out of compliance. Then we can come in and test them and fine them and backcharge them to keep them in compliance.
Okay.
But the requirement is that they hire a certified tester to test
the results.
Correct.
Okay.
So we send them out a notice 45 days prior to their compliance date, giving them enough time to hire a backflow tester to test that assembly and meet the compliance date.
What does the code allow for you, give you as far as teeth? You know, say someone doesn't submit paperwork that they've tested.
So we can, it gives us two options. We can either come out and test it and charge for the time and materials, or we can shut the water off.
Okay.
We can't shut a fire service protection line off. Irrigation is very simple and potable, dependent upon the location, can be sticky, but ultimately it's about system protection. So we try to work with the owner and keep them in compliance and keep the utility safe.
Thank you.
How many testers are there, like, for all the commercial buildings that are being tested in Oral Valley? Is that do you see the same names frequently?
Yeah, probably 90% of the test results we received are from 10 to 15 testers, but in the database we have roughly 200 testers that are registered with the utility.
Do you ever like double check that a tester does a good job?
Yeah, we do. We do what are called spot checks.
Okay.
And we take just random 5 to 10 backflow assembly test sheets, and we go out within a day to 2 days, roughly the same time of day, because the sun or temperature can vary. And we test to make sure that what they submitted is accurate.
Good. Any more questions? Okay, thank you very much.
So thank you.
Very important. Okay, item 3, Finance Subcommittee Membership Discussion and Possible Action.
Well, on February 11th of this year, we selected which commissioners would sit on which of two subcommittees, our Finance Subcommittee and Water Resources and Conservation Subcommittee. And it slipped my attention that we inadvertently created a commission quorum potential with our Finance Subcommittee, because we have four commissioners assigned to that subcommittee. We have Commissioner Tustison, Bilkey, Hollingsworth, Reynolds. So we don't have to figure this out tonight if we can't, but I need to ask if someone would be volunteer to step down.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yes.
That subcommittee meeting is noticed.
Probably correct. Yes.
Both of the subcommittees.
And yes. Since it's not got an agenda as a council meeting, I mean as a commission meeting, you can't take an action.
You're challenging the notion.
The commission cannot. I'm just asking a question. Right. Something I don't understand. This commission cannot take an action unless we have it on the agenda, correct?
Correct.
So since that meeting is not, and since it's properly noticed to the public, is there really a problem for having four members?
I think, so I don't know the answer to your question, absolutely. But I think it's undesirable at any time to have four or more commissioners together, whether they take action on something or not. For example, when we go on our water utility, I know it's a commission meeting, but we go on our field trip.
Right.
We we agendize that, we provide public notice where we're going to be, where we're going to be there, even though no decision is being made.
Another question then. Suppose we did have a subcommittee with three members and a fourth commission member decided to attend. Does that create a problem?
I would say yes. And he's now we have a quorum.
Even though the fourth member cannot participate.
I understand your question, and we can research this. We spoke with the town clerk about this, and they said it was not good to have four commissioners.
Because in the past, we've always taken the attitude that if a subcommittee meets and any other commissioner wants to go and observe, they can. And now you seem to be saying that couldn't happen.
Yeah, I just...
I guess they can attend as a member of the public, but they can't participate.
Let me put it this way. Does it anything that would raise a question from the public, I think we should avoid. I mean,
I'm okay with that.
You know, Daniel, do you have anything to add with your research on this?
Yeah, I did speak with Joe Andrews in the legal department, and he said that it's permitted to have an extra member come and sit as a member of the audience, but it's not advised. He said, whenever there are four members, that's basically your commission.
My take is it doesn't really, yes, it does matter about agendas. However, the issue is those four members could get together, decide at the next meeting something will happen, whatever that something is. I don't believe that this group is of that mindset, but there are people in the community and people in the Attorney General's office who look for stuff like this. And so rather than saying a fourth member is okay under certain circumstances, the best rule of the game, in my opinion, would be three members. If you want to come as a fourth, that's going to be dicey.
You don't want four people coming to one of these meetings with a preconceived decision and then the other three really get voted out.
In fact, I think if you were to look at the letter of the law, you may be right. I think if you look at public perception, it's probably not advisable.
I accept that. That's fine.
And I agree with Charlie that really is the crux of it. It's not what you're going to do at that meeting, it's what you could do to affect the next meeting. And I'm willing to step down for this year from the Finance Subcommittee and pick it up again next year. I think it'll probably come up again for re-election.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Reynolds. That it just makes it cleaner for us. And I appreciate that. This is your first year, so I think you'd have first dibs at next year then.
Okay.
If does it sound good to the rest of the commission?
Sure.
Well, those are subcommittees come up for re-election every year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll be happy to stand down for this year. And,
okay.
And
thank you.
I won't attend the meeting.
Thank you. And I apologize. Yeah. I should have.
Have there been subcommittee meetings?
No.
So nothing has happened?
There have been
untoward.
No, but we're not.
We're fixing it now.
Yeah.
We're going to start.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be starting up soon. Make note that Commissioner Reynolds volunteered to step down. We thank you very much for that.
No problem.
Thank you.
Any more discussion on this topic?
Oh, related. It's not called conservation. Is it conservation?
The water resources.
Conservation and water resources.
It has three already?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be the orphan.
Thank you.
You can start your own subcommittee if you want.
Okay, we're up to subcommittee and commissioner reports.
Skip.
I what?
Council meeting.
Town council. God, I'm really, I can't even read my.
You're out of practice, I think it's the font.
I need bigger font, please. Yes!
Double up?
Okay, item four, town council meetings, communications.
Thank you, Vice Chair Campbell, and it's good to see everybody back after our recess. So first and foremost, I'd like to give our water utility director some accolades. He was given our town manager's manager award for outstanding management and leadership skills. So this is the first annual, and so it was given to Peter for those reasons. So it will be given on an annual basis, and it is for the Town of World Valley directors, the town department directors. So congratulations,
thank
Peter,
you.
And I think it's very well deserved. Good news for tonight.
Is there a magazine cover with that?
You can give a speech afterwards, Peter. Okay, just what I would call probably four of the most important items that the council was busy dealing with while we were on our recess. Council was still in session. However, we are on recess for the month of August. The first item that we had addressed was the mayor had met with the state land department for the annexation that was supposed to take place, or we were working on that process at the corner of Braindale and Tangerine. So after the mayor's meeting, state land informed us that they were going to be putting the state land discussions on hold until further notice. So we don't have a timeline on it, but we'll just hope that we can continue that, you know, sometime down the road. The other item that has come about since we had our last council meeting on July 31st is we were made aware that Stacy Lemos, our finance director, and I'll call her an award-winning finance director who did an excellent job in her 14 years here with Oral Valley, has taken an executive position with the U of A. And so I hate to see her go. She's done a great job. The town manager has an individual who's going to serve as an interim. He was a former CFO in the Avondale area, I believe, and so he'll be here on an interim basis until a finance director is hired. And then the council, we had a 4-3 vote to have an external internal hiring process for the chief of police. Some of you may or may not be aware, but Chief Daniel Sharp had given his retirement notice, which is effective February 2020. And so we will be looking to work through that process, and staff will be starting that to look at hiring a new police chief. The other item that has come about, and obviously golf is has been a very important topic to a lot of people. There was a 4-3 vote for council to direct staff to order a landscape architect to determine repurposing costs for the golf courses. So the timeline on that to get that back, according to what we were told by our town manager, is maybe in the November-December timeline of 2019. So that's where we're at with the golf courses at this point in time. And then other than that, we've just had, you know, things going on here and there, but mainly those are the big things that have happened for us from a very high level. So that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, where am I?
Subcommittee, check them off.
Five. There you go.
You need a temporary vice chair.
I know. Grip your glasses. Subcommittee commissioner reports. Hey, finance subcommittee.
No report.
Okay. The Water Resources and Conservation Subcommittee had a meeting last week, and we talked about what do we want our subcommittee to do, and we came up with three ideas that we're going to look at possibly doing. Let's see if I get them right. One is to create a welcome kit for new Oral Valley customers telling them about how to use their irrigation and what kind of plants to plant, and basically how to minimize the use of potable water exterior to their homes. We felt like a lot of effort has been made in the last 20 years to make equipment in your home more efficient, but there really hasn't been a lot done that makes irrigation or outside plantings more efficient. The second idea is somewhat similar, looking at about, on average, 45% of our water use is exterior. Is there a way that we could target a specific number and create a plan to try to get that to be a smaller number? Overall, we're using less water than we did 20 years ago, or we're delivering less water. So it's not a question of we need to do this. It's a question of, from a sustainability standpoint, is there something we could or should do on that? And then the third idea is, what can we do with any excess reclaimed water that we have if it's not going to golf courses in the future? So we asked staff to do a few bits of analysis to see which of these things might be the best use of our time. And at our next meeting, which will be mid-September-ish, or
I think we decided either end of September, very early part of October.
Okay. We'll vote as a committee, subcommittee, on which project we want to move forward with. And that is our subcommittee. Okay, staff report. A, financial report. I see Shirley is ready to go.
Oh, I'm here. You bet. Well, tonight we're going to take a look at our financial picture for fiscal year 2018-19. So we'll briefly review the revenue expense and expenses from July 1 of 2018 to June 30th of 2019. Okay. So here's the revenue. And overall, revenue related to water sales came in below the budgeted forecast. And this is largely due to reduction in water use resulting from those fantastic monsoons we had last year. And then some of that loss is a result of the closure of the Gulf Club at Vistoso. So if we look at the individuals, you have your potable water sales are slightly under budget by about 2%, 11.4 million compared to 11.1 million actually received. Reclaimed water was 502,000 under budget. It's about 29% under what we projected. 1.7 was our budget, and it came in at 1.2 million. Groundwater preservation fees, 222,000 under budget, roughly 9%. We projected 2.4, and we received 2.2 million. Again, those are all related to water use, all of those revenues, okay? Service fees are a combination of interest income, reconnect fees, meter fees, all of those other fees and charges that we charge for services in the water utility. And that income was actually about $140,000 more than projected. A couple reasons. We had a significant rate increase in what we charge Pima County wastewater for billing sewer. It's 32 cents a bill for every month. So that was roughly not quite $60,000 increase there. That's in interest income, more than we projected due to some investments made by Ms. Lemos. We had, $10,000 more in reconnect fees, $10,000 more in new service establishment fees. So those are people moving in and out and people getting their water shut off. Then there were other smaller increases. So the total of all revenue sources came in at about 95% of our budgeted forecast. So while we were down in some areas, we were up in those extra fees.
And Shirley, on reclaimed, we're quite a bit under budget, not just because, or correct me if I'm wrong, but not just because of the improved hydrology, but when we did our budget, we weren't expecting to lose Vistoso.
That is correct. That added to it. It added to the loss of reclaimed and GPF. The loss of Vistoso Golf Course was significant. I can tell you that we went on an average year for them in 17-18 was 115 million gallons, and in 18-19 that was 8 million. And so far this year it's zero. So it had a significant impact on reclaim. and GPO.
Thank you.
All right, the expenses, the overall expenses came in about 10% under the budgeted amount. Of course, you always have a little over and a little under, but overall, 10% under. Our personnel costs were pretty close. They were at 97% due to, not filling vacancies right away. So difference of about $100,000. In the administration section, that includes, that's really all administrative staff. So it's admin, it's customer service, conservation, engineering, and then some construction inspectors. And that came in at 98% of what we had budgeted, $1.353 million, leaving only $22,000 unspent in that category. Water resources was 90% of what we were budgeted, and part of that, well, largely that is due to when we set our budget in February, we're using rates that have been developed by CAP the prior June. They adopt all their rates in June, and this is in February the following year, using their projected rates, and then they actually came in less than that, which was a pleasant surprise. Saved us a little bit of money. The operations for potable, that's all areas. That's water quality, production, distribution, meters, everything related to the operations of the potable system. That came in at 88%. That's largely due to power costs were down by about $100,000. Chemicals were also down a little too. And again, that directly relates to water use. The water use was down. The O&M costs were down as well. And then reclaimed operations, 75% of what we actually budgeted again. Just the reclaimed water and chemical savings were $230,000 with the reduction in water sales.
Is that the category for payment to Tucson Water?
Yes, it is, for the wheeling. Okay, Lee's going to give an update on the capital projects. So kind of high-level totals show that the funds spent on capital projects as of June 30th were about 71% of the budgeted amount. Lee will go into that. And lastly, debt service was paid in full as budgeted. Little customer service update. This fiscal year, we installed 267 new meters. And that's about 47 meters short of what we actually projected, 314. The customer base now totals 20,188 at the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. And last year, Karn performed 43 audits. We have now accumulated over 10,300 customer email addresses in our billing database. And these email addresses afford us the opportunity to not only send out high water use notifications through our WaterSmart program, but we can also send other communications to them through WaterSmart. For example, if we're going to have planned water outages in an area, or maybe even conservation messages, whatever we decide to send to them via email. So we really have a push to get as many email addresses as we can. So we're sitting at roughly 50% of our total database. And that concludes my report.
Surely, compared to Aquamont, we have a lot more registered users, or about the same?
The actual registered users?
Or as far as being able to reach customers with email?
Well, we can actually reach over 10,300 with AquaHawk. I think the most we could ever reach was about 27%. So we had maybe 5,000 people. So we have like twice the capability in a short period of time.
And people use it. I hear
they use it a
lot.
We have, I think, Danielle, I think you reported something like 13,000 hits in 90 days. They kind of keep track of that, so they've got customers going in and out of there all the time. It's really
one of my neighbors said he turned off his irrigation and he waters by hand now because it saves him money.
Oh,
that's what he thinks he sees on.
Oh, that's what he thinks. Okay, well, he might if he's got a leak in his irrigation
yes,
system.
Yes, that's what
right?
I said. If that's really true, then maybe you should get your irrigation.
Yeah, we've had a lot of positive feedback or people who are like, thank you for the notification, I was just filling my pool, but I love that you're on top of it.
Right.
Or, hey, I found my leak, or yeah, whatever it is, we're getting a lot of feedback like that. And
a lot of people like to watch day to day.
They see how it happens.
Yeah. Okay, any other comments for Shirley?
Thank you.
Then we'll go on to water supply and usage report.
Thank you, Chair Campbell. So, as opposed to fiscal year, I'm looking at water resources from a calendar year perspective. And here we're looking at our Oro Valley main service area, and this is from January through June of 2019. And you can see over here, you know, kind of explains some of that reduction in revenue that we thought we were going to be getting with. We had excellent hydrology in the fall, winter, and spring. So we're really seeing, three interesting things here. One is because of excellent hydrology, just overall less potable water use and reclaimed water use. Another thing we're seeing here is more CAP deliveries than ever before because we have our Oracle and Hardy wheeling facility commissioned in November, and that's been working for us full time. So this, if you look, compare it to this time last year, if you see our CAP production, you know, last year we were 941 acre feet, and now we're at, 1,100 acre feet. And that's just because we have that additional capacity to bring in the CAP water. Likewise, conversely to that, look at groundwater. Last year at this time, we were at almost 2,500 acre feet, and now we're just under 1,900 acre feet. Well, that's that additional wheeling and the improved hydrology. Here you can see reclaim has really, really dropped off. Last year at this time, we were a little over 1,800 acre feet, and now we're just over 700 acre feet. Again, that's due to the improved hydrology, and we lost Vistosa. If you look at the overall trend, I mean, we keep waiting for it to tick up, but I mean, if you just look at this overall trend, it's still declining. We're on track in calendar year 18 to produce less groundwater than we ever have before since 1996. We're on track to deliver more CAP water than ever before, and probably on track to deliver less reclaimed water than we have in a long time. So this is our main service area.
Each of those years is only January through June?
January through June, that's correct.
What's our total reclaimed delivery in an average year? I thought the max was around 2,000.
Yeah, it is. You know what?
It doesn't look like that's January to June.
No, this is for a full year.
The reclaim is for a full year.
The reclaim is a full year.
But the others are January to June.
Oh, I mean, take a look here. Yeah, that looks right. Groundwater.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right. You're right. This is the total for reclaim.
Okay.
You know, that's why that looks.
Otherwise, scary. That drop off would be seriously alarming.
Yeah, good
from a revenue point of view.
I wish I picked that up. I do know that our reclaim is lower than it was.
What's expected to be.
Yeah,
but not that much lower.
No, this is you're right. This is a full year worth of reclaim delivery.
Would you be able to update that and send that out to us?
Yeah.
We're only entitled about 2,000, a little over 2,000 acres feet reclaimed in a year, aren't we?
Yeah, it depends on how much potable we deliver. But yeah, I'll send an update on this.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Flush more.
So looking at our countryside water service area, here, countryside, we haven't added any additional CAP delivery capability, so it's been the same that it's ever been since 2014. But here again, that improved hydrology we had in winter and spring reduced our groundwater production. You can see our CAP wheeling has been
this is basically just, you know, due to improved hydrology here. Thank you.
Thank you. Capital projects. Hey.
Okay. Thank you.
You're up.
Sure. Let's see here.
So I'm going to touch on some of the what Shirley had mentioned earlier, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail and just kind of go through our capital projects from fiscal year 18-19, you know, one by one, and then I'll give an overview at the end of what it looks like as far as expenditures. So our first project here is the Oracle Harding. As Peter mentioned, that came online this year. We were actually under budget by about $66,000, and that was just how it came in, so that was a good thing. Our next project was a hydro pneumatic tank replacement. This one here, we replaced this. But as you can see, the budget was slightly over, and that was due to some additional work that was identified at the time of the hydro tank replacement that wasn't identified. Wasn't actually part of the scope, but because the contractor was already available and on site and qualified to do the work, we went ahead and had them do that work. And it turned out to be a good thing because they actually repaired some above ground and below ground piping. That, you know, these are part of our critical infrastructure. So it came in about $96,000, but that's money well spent. So the next project is our mag meter project. This was 14. We had 14 mag meters that were identified in our well sites. So all of these wells are now on our AMI, which is part of the Water Smart program, and our SCADA as well. So this came in, we were able to purchase all 14 mag meters, and then we came in at a price just under budget. The next one is Nokomis Sky. If you recall, when we first started the drilling project, which was fiscal year 17-18, which was with steam pump, the idea was to begin the steam pump drilling at the end of the fiscal year and then move into Nokomis Sky and take advantage of that contractor being in town and relatively close to Nokoma. But unfortunately, the Nokoma project kind of fell through, and so we had to kind of chase down the property owners to get them to deed that property to us. And unfortunately, by that time, the contractor, our drilling contractor, had to remobilize to Phoenix. So we lost a few months there, and so, you know, that all kind of, you know, snowballed into us being delayed. But the good news here is that we're still on budget for the overall project, maybe slightly over because there was some work that was going to be done as part of the Nokomis project that now we're going to have to pick up. But overall, the project is, you know, relatively close to budget overall. But this is because we're looking at fiscal years. It just kind of looks like, hey, we had to carry it forward, but really it was just a timing thing. The La Reserve PRB that's going to take our Deer Run out of service. We actually got started on this project, but unfortunately the costs were a little bit higher than expected. So we kind of re-scoped it and decided to reevaluate the project and look at a cheaper alternative in an effort to try and save some money. We were able to do some tapping sleeves and valves and get the infrastructure that was supposed to be under, or that is under the pavement, out of the pavement and behind curb, because the HOA was going through and doing a pavement replacement project. So we were able to get that completed in time. So we did spend some money. The design was complete. We got our approvals to construct all of that. So now we're reevaluating the original design and looking at some cost-saving measures.
Lee, what was the bid? Yeah, this one we had. What was the bid on this? It was really high.
Price was about $179,000. That was the low bid. So it was almost a little over $100,000 more than the original estimate.
And we were like, whoa, let's...
let's reevaluate it. Okay. Yeah, you know, maybe we didn't need the Cadillac version there. You know, we could have gotten away with the Toyota version. So a little bit more economic.
Well, you're working with an HOA, too.
We're working with the HOA, yeah. One of the things is we wanted to be sensitive to this infrastructure that was going in, because it's kind of... it's kind of between some homes, you know, and so we just wanted to make sure that we were trying to stay consistent with the architecture in the area. And so now I'm going back with some additional options and alternative designs. So hopefully that'll work out here soon. We've actually finished one of the proposed alternatives, and so we're going to take that now. I'm going to take that to the HOA, Architectural Committee, and see what we can do. The next one is, this is a project that kind of, it falls in line with what Adam has spoken about earlier with our backflow prevention program. This program, it was a little bit, this is one of those things where, if you remember, Adam mentioned that part of their mission is to do everything they can to protect our potable water source and any potential backflow or cross connections. With fire protection, so there was a period of time, if you recall, where fire protection systems were installed within the town service area that don't meet today's standards. And if you remember, he mentioned something about testable backflow preventers. They don't have testable backflow preventers, so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to go back in to have these testable backflows installed in an effort to do everything we can to avoid any potential for those contamination when you have that possibly stagnant water that sits in the fire lines coming back out. But the reason this one is carried forward so much is because there was a lot of upfront engineering that needed to be done before. So we're working through that now. We've gotten the first phase of that completed. And now we're working on the second phase, and so that's continuing to move forward. And because a lot of it's on private property, and with fire protection systems that have already been in place for probably 19, 20 years in some cases, whereas you got to be sensitive to altering and modifying them. This project here is our office improvements. This was over at the reclaim plant. This is actually under budget. We were able to complete everything we needed to do. We added some additional workstations. So this is going to be nice because now this is going to actually allow some of our operations folks to be consolidated in one location from an operations standpoint. Our valve replacement program, we were actually under budget by about $3,900. That turned out pretty good. I think we took advantage on this one. We got so many done because there was an event that happened early on in the year that allowed us to replace about four at one shot.
Commissioner Milkey, you'll remember this one. This was
I do.
Val Del Oro. This started off as a main break, and when our operations group got in there and started looking at what was there, they're like, we got to redo this whole intersection of valves. And it turned out to be a good project and will prevent major problems or future problems in that area.
Yeah, it really did. You know, if you can see here, there was a kind of a hodgepodge of different material. There's
PVC pipe, AC,
some ductile.
Some ductile iron.
So it turned, yeah, so we went ahead and it was a good, you know, it was a good decision just to go ahead and replace it all with brand new pipes. So we've got that whole intersection completely redone. So and it was actually not a bad, for the cost of it at the time, it was not a bad cost. And then, I'll step back. And so we actually did another one on Kayak and Canero. That one was a zone boundary valve that had been opened, and we ended up having to replace it. So we were able to do that, restore the pressure to the residents that were on that street. And so we actually did that one as well. So that was an additional one and not anticipated. This is our upgrades of our wall improvements. So this was a maintenance program, or kind of looking at several of our facilities that, you know, deteriorating stucco, the stucco's chipping, cracking, and these ones were kind of high visible. They were in neighborhoods, so we wanted to make sure that we were able to address these right away. So we were able to take care of two of them for that budget of $51,000. We have one more this year coming up, and I'll present to the commission later this year, but that one's expected to be a little higher just because it's a much larger facility. So,
where is D9?
D9?
Yeah, roughly.
Oh, roughly? D9 is Kaya, what is it? Kaya Concordia? No, not Kaya Concordia. Is it between Kaya Concordia and, I'm trying, where's the Wheelie Station?
Northern?
Oh, Linda, no. Yeah, not Northern. Where does Northern turn into?
Cayo Buena Vista.
Yeah, Cayo Buena Vista, I'm sorry. So it's in the neighborhood just east east of Cayo Buena Vista.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And then Glover is just right up here off of Naranja. Okay. So this is the La Cholla Widening Project. So this is kind of similar to, but not really, but... So La Cholla, if you look at the cost, the overall cost for the project, we're looking at about $1 million for the water infrastructure alone. When we budget for these, we budget it with the anticipation, well, a couple of things. The contractor, the water's going to be relatively reasonable, you know, because we're bundling it all into one package with the roadway project, so it's the same contractor. Our costs were actually pretty good for the water at $1 million. When we budgeted it, we actually budgeted it with the intent that it was going to happen, let's say, maybe start in May or April. So we said, okay, we're going to need maybe about $600,000 to do this work. Unfortunately, it doesn't. At this point, it's not that big of a deal because they were able to get most of the work done in this fiscal year. We actually planned for 60% this year and 40% next fiscal year, which is this fiscal year that we're in, to get completed. But they were able to do a little bit more than we anticipated, and so that's why the budget looks like it's over. But overall, when the project's completed, we'll be right at budget, what we're expecting, maybe slightly even under. So that's that one. So the Northwest Recharge and Recovery Delivery System, this is the first phase, doing all the environmental, looking at the alignment, looking at all the utilities, the subsurface utilities. So when we go into our second phase, which we're getting ready to do now, we're scoping that out. We've actually got it into procurement now to put out an RFQ for request for qualifications. And this will get our designer basically with the correct alignment that they need to be on either side of Lambert Lane and then going up Shannon to the intermediate four bay. So this one here, if you take a look, I tried to kind of bold these numbers here, and that kind of shows you overall $1 million. And this isn't all of the projects, but I just kind of wanted to highlight some of the projects that will kind of got us to $1 million. As I mentioned, the Nokomis Sky was one of them, and why it was under, and then the backflow prevention, talked a little bit about that, and then D8. D8 was we needed to remove a PRV, and we're in the process of doing that. We had to redesign it, so we're doing that now. So it's kind of roughly, and then these are some smaller, some smaller costs that we're under as well. So kind of explains to you why we were a little short from the $3,758,000 to what we spent is $2,649,000. Make sense?
Any questions? Okay, thank you, Lee. Director's report.
Thank you, Chair Campbell. So, director's report. Upcoming meetings. Council is taking August off, so our next council meeting is slated for September 4th. That will be in council chambers at 6 p.m. And then our next Water Utility Commission meeting will be September 9th. Right here in this room at 5 p.m. So I didn't want to say quiet, but not a lot of planned meetings, but we're still hopping. So looking at the upper Colorado Basin, looking at the snowpack, we're right in the middle of summer here, and then all that wonderful hydrology we got, the snowpack has now melted and it's making its way to Lake Powell. And you can see here, 2019, we had this great year. We ended great. I mean, the area under the curve is fantastic. So that's great news for us. I mean, if we could have a few years of that, it would be what a relief to all the lower basin states. So here now we're looking at Lake Powell. So as we know, the watershed for the Colorado Rocky Upper Rocky Mountains, its first big reservoir is Lake Powell. And depending on certain relationships between water surface elevations between Powell and Meade, dictates the release we get this is looking at Lake Powell. So looking at the end of 2018, I mean, it was just, that was or close to the end, you know, the fall of 2018, I mean, just terrible hydrology. And we ended up, Lake Powell was very low. But with this improved hydrology, the water going into Lake Powell, that water surface elevation, it's going to be way up there. And we have every expectation of a 9 million acre foot release to Lake Powell. So that's all good news. Excellent hydrology. Want to touch on...
question.
Yes.
When will that release take place?
Well,
for what time?
Well, it'll be after, basically starting in September. And it goes throughout the year.
So what do we think Lake Mead's elevation will be?
No, I didn't look at what the projection is, but I mean, we still expect to be in a tier one of our DCP plan because tier one starts so much higher now. But I mean, we expect to finish the year definitely higher than where we're at now, but I don't remember the exact number. But
I would like to, I'll look at that myself. Oh, let's see.
Peter, while you're doing that, I'll let the commission know. I went on a fact-finding mission to Colorado, to Breckenridge. There just happened to have been a music festival going on at that time. But let me tell you, the Big Thompson was roaring down next to the interstate, so lots of water.
Yeah, that's great news. Yeah, great news. One thing I'd like to address in this director's report is lately... due to the council discussions surrounding the future of town-owned golf courses, the topic of reclaimed water rates has come up. I've been privy to reading a lot of misinformation. I've received a lot of emails with misinformation with respect to this subject. I want to provide the commission a report as to what I've been communicating through the town's monthly online constituent report, as well as what I've been reporting to council. So there's really no new information here. I'm just making you privy to the information I've already put out there that you might not be aware of to address the misinformation and alternative facts. Just a little bit of background. So the water utility, we have an intergovernmental agreement with Tucson Water relating to effluent and reclaimed water. So in summary, for a cost of service fee, Tucson agrees to deliver Oro Valley's reclaimed water to Oro Valley through Tucson Water's reclaimed distribution system. The water utility has 11 reclaimed customers, the largest of which are the five turf customers, or four turf customers now, or maybe. Does Pososo, are they taking any more deliveries right now? Sure. Zero?
No.
Okay. The water utility incurred $16 million in debt to finance the reclaim system. Of that debt, $7.3 million is still outstanding. The annual debt service on the reclaimed water system is just under $1.4 million. Charges, rates, and fees. So Tucson Water charges us 92 cents per 1,000 gallons and that to deliver that reclaimed water. This rate is determined annually by the prior year's reclaimed operating costs divided by the prior year's reclaimed water produced by Tucson Water. Simple calculation for them. Our rate, the rate the water utility charges, we charge $2.27 per 1,000 gallons. So we get it for 92 cents and we deliver it at a rate of $2.27. And this is per 1,000 gallons. Additionally, we have a groundwater preservation fee of 47 cents per 1,000 gallons. So the total is $2.74 per 1,000 gallons. One of the alternative facts is that I'm hearing that Oro Valley charges reclaimed water users the highest rate in Arizona, up to 15 times higher than the lowest, about three times the price charged by most Arizona reclaimed water sellers. That's simply not true. For example, if you compare us just to Tucson Water, we believe it or not,
even though we're 10% of the size of Tucson Water, we're very comparable. We get our sources of supply from the same place, very similar operating systems. Actually, if anything, it costs us more money to get our reclaimed water just through distant elevation mostly, which is power associated with power costs. Tucson Water charges $2.85 per 1,000 gallons. So compare that to our $2.74 per 1,000 gallons. So, you know, right there, it's not true that we have the highest reclaimed rate in Arizona. One thing needs to be thought of when you hear this kind of information is comparing us to Chandler or Mesa or anybody else. There's a lot of questions that you need to ask yourself because it's very difficult to make reclaim rate comparisons. You have to ask yourself, where are their sources of supply? What's the quality of the reclaimed water they're delivering? What are the O&M costs? What's their debt service? You know, a lot of the dialogue I hear is, well, if you're not delivering that resource, you know, why should you be have a budget shortfall? You still have to pay the debt service. You know, that's something I think people often miss.
Although isn't it true that the potable customers are bearing a fair share of the payment of the debt service for building the reclaimed?
Yes. The potable water customers in their base rate and commodity rate, no. But through the GPF, yes. But not in the commodity
and base rate. But
yeah. But in the groundwater preservation fee, yes.
Another way of saying that is the groundwater preservation fee collected from the reclaimed users is not enough to meet the debt service.
That is true.
Annually.
Yes.
Okay.
Another thing I've heard, and I want to make sure it's corrected, and this is for the commission, when you're out and about in the community, people know your commissioners, and they ask you these questions, I want you to have these answers, is, well, Crooked Tree, which is a Pima County golf course that's managed by a third party, Crooked Tree only pays $68,000 a year for reclaimed water. Well, that may or may not be true. I do know it's less than $100,000. I don't know about the $68,000 number. But one thing that has to be understood is in a lot of these instances, there's subsidies that happen. Okay? And especially when you compare to other communities. In a lot of other communities, the potable water commodity rate and base rate actually subsidizes the reclaimed rate. Our commodity and base rate doesn't. So you have to make sure you're comparing apples to apples. But first of all, we're not the highest rate in Arizona. Maybe the second highest, I don't know, but we're not the highest. We don't arbitrarily do our rates. I mean, we, as the finance subcommittee has looked, we worked very hard to allocate the appropriate fixed costs and the appropriate percentage of variable costs to the reclaim. So our reclaimed rate, it's not guessed at, it's not backed into, it's calculated. One of the things I had mentioned to council is, okay, what happens from a revenue standpoint if you lose 18 holes of golf? What happens from a revenue standpoint if you lose 36 holes of golf? So we did an analysis, and our analysis, we did it a month ago. And the question was, if you lose 18 or 36 holes of golf beginning in July of 2020, so a year from last month, what does that do to your revenues? For 18 holes, the net revenue loss, not gross, the net after we factor it, after we take out the costs of delivering the product. For 18 holes, the net revenue loss is just under $240,000. Net revenue loss. For 36 holes, you can almost double that. It's about $470,000. What I had told council was, okay, so now we have a revenue loss. There's lots of ways of making up loss of revenue other than just raising rates. You know, you could defer capital projects. We could not buy all of the water resources we planned to buy. So all things being equal, if we were to keep the same capital program, the same water resource planning, strategic plan, yeah, we would have to increase our revenue somewhere. But if we're willing to change our plan, we wouldn't have to necessarily raise rates any higher than we were planning to anyway. So that, I don't think it's fair to say, you know, well, you're going to raise rates on us. Well, that's one way of solving the problem. You know, there's lots of different ways. So we're not the highest rate in southern Arizona. We don't just arbitrarily guess at our rate. We haven't falsified any data or information. And raising rates is only one way to solve a revenue problem or shortfall. So I just wanted to make sure the commission just had that information. The one that really bugs me is when I hear we have the highest reclaim rates in Arizona. It's like, no, we don't. It's right there. Just Google it. Yes.
One question I haven't been able to answer that I've been asked is, well, what if we just deliver potable water to the golf course?
Then they will pay more.
What's the difference in price, like just ballpark? Do you know?
I haven't even made the comparison.
So it would make it.
Reclaimed water is incentivized from an economic standpoint. When we first started delivering, the very first reclaimed rate was equal to that of potable.
Right.
And then as time went on, the reclaim rate just went up less than potable did, thus incentivizing it. But since that time, we've come up with a methodology to determine what the rate is.
Mark, I assume if we went to potable, we'd use one of our published rates. So we do have a turf rate for potable water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something we should be able to calculate.
Oh, no, I just don't have it on my finger.
It would be 51 cents a 1,000 gallons more. Based on today's rates.
Okay. Ballpark.
So that's about somewhere between 20 and 25% increase in the consumption fee.
Yeah.
Maybe 20.
So therefore, if we wanted to have lower than the second highest rate in the universe, we could give them all potable water and charge them even more.
I know this is a report, but we're not going to get a decision here, and I do want the commission to be informed. But a lot of, you know, when we pay our debt service, that's a game changer too. Surely, what do we got like 7 more years on our debt service?
Yeah.
So we're paying $1.4 million a year right now, and that goes away. Yeah, that changes things. So we need to look at our rates and be careful that we don't, you know, have some big adjustment we have to do in the debt service that's paid for. And then with respect to, yes, it's true. If you look at our capital projects, we don't have reclaimed projects. So right now, if we, with the losing Vistoso, right now our reclaimed system's quote unquote overbuilt, and that's why we're looking at ways of what can we do with this resource and this capacity to deliver this resource. So anyways, yeah.
Any possibility of selling our allocation to someone else?
You could. I would never recommend that because we're building long-term storage credits by not using it.
By not using it.
It's still ours. It's just over there. It's still ours. I would never recommend that. In fact,
no storage credits are recovered as potable water.
Yeah, we can recover. And in fact, I'm trying to do just the opposite. I'll buy long-term storage credits. I'll buy groundwater exchange. I'll buy whatever kind of water I can get. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend selling anything. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for helping us be better armed to help our citizens understand this very complicated issue.
You did say that we were the second highest in the universe.
Yes, universe.
Okay.
Because
note that that one expanded really rapidly.
Well, I don't know how many states really deliver reclaimed water. I don't know, it's not 50 states, it's not most countries, it's It's a small universe.
Water on Mars is really high.
Really high.
The pipe to the moon.
Enric, our universe is Arizona.
Really, how many states do one? Just the Southwest?
There's some in California.
I would say it would definitely, I mean, for sure in the Southwest.
It's the Western states.
I don't spend a lot of time. I'm homegrown. I don't get out much.
Well, I mean, to the whole concept that we're charging too much, I mean, you know, try India or, you know.
All of their water's reclaimed.
That's right. Everything where we found. Nobody's in this field.
So.
Well, if you've got rainfall.
It's all relative.
6 inches of rain here, you don't need to.
Right.
Any additional water.
Yeah.
Usually, except for, unless you have a dry summer or something.
Which brings us to future agenda items, in case anyone feels this or any other topic needs to be discussed more. Do we have any suggestions for future agenda items? Guess not. Another call to the audience who has left us. So.
I'll take this.
You may. If there is nothing else, I will entertain a motion.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. The meeting is adjourned. Go ahead.